If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy, it's our last sermon in 2 Timothy. We're going to look at verses 9 through 22 today. I wrote here, our text this morning is a fitting passage for a day such as this. Some may view this passage as insignificant, simply the closing thoughts of Paul as he wraps up his second letter to Timothy. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on these verses. You may have, I don't know, but it's not very popular. These are passages I wrote that I love, those that seem of little, that get a little of attention. I like those. If we take the time to study them, we can discover precious truths and guidance for our lives. I think these last few verses have a lot they can show us. As you know, you all know, we've been saying it for weeks. At this point in the Apostle Paul's life, he had enjoyed a powerful ministry in the Lord, but he was now confined to a Roman prison near the end of his life. We know that Paul had faced great adversity and pain, and some likely thought they had silenced the great preacher and rendered his ministry ineffective by getting him put in prison. But Paul would not abandon his faith, and that's what I like about Paul. He never gave up. He was determined to remain committed to the Lord and to his calling as long as he lived. No matter what came across his path, what happened to him, he remained faithful. Paul intended to finish well, and that's what our series was all about these last few weeks. Am I finishing well? Will I finish well? It's a choice we make. We're going to look at that next week, choices that we make. But as I read this passage, I sensed that Paul was lonely. I've read it a lot, and I sensed he was lonely. I believe you can hear it in his voice. At times, each of us is overwhelmed by loneliness. Some of the greatest musical hits of all times are about loneliness, because so many people can relate to loneliness. Maybe you're struggling today with loneliness. I believe this passage will help you. I really do. In this last section of 2 Timothy, Paul is alone in a damp, cold dungeon, awaiting execution. These are his last written words, and I believe that we find a couple of reasons and the remedy for loneliness. Let's just look at this passage briefly. If you got the sermon outline on the back of your bulletin, the point two is the reasons for loneliness. Let's look at verse 9, if you'll follow along with me. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Then verse 14 says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. And then look down at verse 16. It says, at my defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Let's just stop there for a minute. As we all know, Paul was a people person. He never traveled alone in his missionary journeys. But now, at the end of his life, the greatest of all the apostles is experiencing loneliness. I believe it's the result of two common causes, which I think we see here in this passage. If you're taking notes, the first one is separation. Separation. Paul writes to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly to me. Only Luke is with me. Verses 9 and 11. Loneliness occurs when we are separated from family and friends. because maybe of school, maybe a job change, maybe you had one off into the military, or you're maybe your last child leaving home. One of the most difficult kinds of separation is the one that comes from the death of a spouse. When we know someone is going through a time of separation, we need to obey what the Lord says to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, if you'll turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, I'd like you to see it. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." Comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Every Christian has a responsibility to encourage others in the faith. In an age which is prone to criticism and fault-finding, that same fault-finding attitude can creep into our church. It can become natural to talk about others or evaluate their performance instead of examining our own hearts or encouraging others toward godliness. We need to be careful that we don't get stuck in that trap. Satan is very clever in how he does that. I wrote here, while encouragement inspires us to keep on track spiritually, edifying one another or building each other up deals with investing in others. We should add to other people in such a way that they will be spiritually stronger. Let me ask you this. Are you stronger in your spiritual life for knowing me? And we can turn that around and vice versa. It should be that way. We should encourage each other and make each other stronger in the faith. In this way, we encourage maturity and strengthening of character. We need to look at every one of those of whom Christ died. They are eternal souls, just as valuable as we are. That's the way we got to look at folks. You know, we look at some people, we don't really like them a whole lot, but you know what? They have souls also, and Christ died for them also. They are eternal souls, just as valuable as we are. We have a responsibility to encourage them to remain faithful and growing until the end. The second common cause I think I see here for loneliness is desertion. Desertion, if you're taking notes. Paul says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica," verse 10. Paul also writes of another betrayal, Alexander the coppersmith. It says he did much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, verse 14. I did a little studying on this and tried to find, it could be that Alexander had informed on Paul or had given false testimony at his trial and was therefore the reason for his arrest and imminent execution. Nice guy, eh? Paul writes in verse 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Paul, think about this. It's kind of sad, really. Paul had led thousands of people to Christ, but no one came to speak in Paul's defense or be present as a symbol of support at his trial. I know he was disappointed. He was thoroughly disappointed. But he was not bitter, because he says in verse 16, "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." That's amazing. When you have been deserted or betrayed, you feel lonely. Maybe your father deserted you as a child. Maybe a spouse betrayed your marriage vows. After devoting your best years to a business, maybe you are told you are no longer needed. It's true. Our deepest hurts are caused by people we trust and love. And that's what makes desertion so painful. A good example of this is when Judas betrayed Jesus. He told the guards he would identify Jesus by kissing him. And after betraying our Lord, what does Jesus ask Judas? You know this, in Luke 22:48. Jesus says, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" You know, folks, this was the worst of all betrayals because the kiss makes a mockery of the love Jesus taught. Are you lonely today? Jesus knows what it's like to be lonely. He really does, folks, because for 33 years, he was isolated from his heavenly home. And not only that, at his arrest, he was betrayed by one of his own disciples and deserted by the rest, with the possible exception of John, who was the only disciple near the cross. Jesus knows exactly what it's to be lonely. He knows. So I see in this passage the reasons for loneliness are separation and desertion. And now let's just look at briefly at the remedy for loneliness. Let's look at verses 11 through 18 here, and then we'll close. Only Luke is with me, verse 11. "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me for the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." So I see, if you're taking notes here, that the first remedy for loneliness is we need God's people. We need God's people. When we are lonely, we need God's people. Many good people have made horrible mistakes during times of loneliness by relying on the wrong people. Paul wants to be with God's people, his friends in the faith. If you're taking notes, you can jot down Proverbs 17:17. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Real friends are those who walk in when the rest of everybody else is walking out. In this passage, Paul mentions many of his real friends, and we're just going to look at a few of them here this morning. First of all, he mentions Cretans in verse 10. Cretans was among the thousands of faithful men and women known to the early church, but unknown to us. Every generation has its Cretans, whose names never appear in the bulletin, who never write a book or appear in the spotlight, but they faithfully serve the Lord behind the scenes. What does Jesus tell us about such people? Well, in Mark 9:41, Jesus says, "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." There are many, many of you in this church who serve the Lord faithfully. You know who you are, and I want to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. This church would be in sad straits without you all, and I thank you for that. I really do. Secondly, Paul mentions Titus in verse 10, to whom the book of Titus was written. Titus was an associate of Paul and taught and pastored struggling churches. Titus delivered 2 Corinthians to Corinth. You can look at that at 1 Corinthians 8:6. And apparently, Cretans and Titus have gone to do the work of the missions. They went off into missions. That's why they weren't with Paul. He sent them off to be missionaries. The third friend he mentions is Luke. All he says in this passage is, only Luke is with me. And what does Luke is only mentioned three times in the Bible. In Colossians 4:14, Paul says, Luke, the beloved physician. And then in Philemon, verse 24, because there's only one chapter in Philemon, he says, Luke, my fellow laborer. That's all that's said about Luke in the Bible. They're the only three times Luke's name is mentioned in the New Testament, though he wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which together make up more words than all of Paul's epistles combined. When Luke travels with Paul, as recorded in the book of Acts, Luke simply says we, never mentioning his own name, carefully keeping himself out of the spotlight. Luke probably stayed with the aged and ailing apostle to take care of his health needs. What a friend that guy was. He was a true friend. The fourth friend that Paul mentions is Mark in verse 11. He writes, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. And when I read that, I went, what? Because we know the problem they had earlier in Paul's ministry. Paul's opinion of John, Mark had deserted Paul and Barnabas on Paul's first missionary journey. Barnabas wanted Mark to accompany them on the second missionary journey, but Paul didn't. At some point, Paul realized Mark was a worthy servant. And I don't know what happened there, but Paul had a change of his mind, which is amazing. Paul realized Mark was a worthy servant. This reminds me of the gospel. It's the gospel of second chances. Sometimes our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ stumble in their faith, and they disappoint us. So what do? We leave the church. No, we don't. We don't. When they do that, we need to obey what the Lord tells us in Galatians chapter 6. Would you turn there, please? I'm going to put a couple eye drops in. I'm having trouble reading. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. This is a command, folks. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. When we obey this command, we may be salvaging not only a person, but also a great ministry. This was the case with Mark, who wrote the second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. The fifth friend Paul mentions is Tychicus in verse 12, whom he is sending to Ephesus to take this letter to Timothy. Tychicus was a trusted messenger who also delivered the letters of Ephesians and Colossians. He wasn't a preacher or a teacher, but he was faithful with the gifts God gave him. Like Paul, we need God's people to remedy loneliness. We really do. We need each other. The second thing I see here is we need God's purpose. We need God's purpose. Apparently, Paul's arrest was so sudden, he was not allowed to gather his personal belongings. So he writes in verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. The cloak was a heavy circular outer garment with a hole in the middle for the head. Paul asked him to come before winter, in verse 21, because he must endure the cold winter, and this was probably the only coat that he owned. It could take several months for Tychicus to make it to Ephesus and for Timothy to return. And the Bible doesn't ever tell us if Timothy ever made it back before Paul was executed. I don't know that. But Paul also wanted Timothy to bring his books and his parchments, verse 13. The books, which were probably parts of the Old Testament made of papyrus, rolled up on a stick, which could have been more than 30 feet long. The parchments were cured animal skins used for writing material. That was important to Paul. Part of God's purpose always includes using our talents, our gifts, and our circumstances to help other people. The loneliest people in the world are those who think of themselves. Paul isn't selfish, and he's not thinking about himself. And that's why, through his trial and imprisonment, he prays in verse 17, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Paul's passion, as we know, we've studied 2 Timothy, we know his passion was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Not even his arrest interfered with this fact. In fact, it enlarged his audience as he was brought before the gathering of the Roman officials. I find that amazing, amazing. Here's a little Jewish man, chained, defenseless, and alone, now stood before the imperial Roman court with all its magnificence and preached the full gospel of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled his own example, the words he had passed on to the Corinthian church. He said, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." Paul never forgot his purpose for his life as revealed on the Damascus Road. You know, folks, it's true that our own burdens become lighter when we help carry someone else's. When I had cancer real bad, I found this to be very, very true. You know, as we help, I had a couple of men that had cancer worse than I did, if you can believe that. And they were both believers, and we would call each other when we were down. We would pray for each other. We would encourage each other. We did that a lot, and that really helped me through my struggle. It really did. She's struggling with loneliness. Maybe you should look around to find someone else that needs some help and help them. Don't wallow in your own self-pity. God tells us in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a command. That's a command to us as believers. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That word burdens, I looked that up. It refers to failures, temptations, testings, and trials. Instead of standing off at a distance and criticizing, we should fly to the side of a brother in trouble or distress and help him in every possible way that we can. You know, the sad thing, I think, sometimes is we are happy when we see someone fall. We think, boy, they're getting just what they deserve. We shouldn't be like that. We should run to their side to help them through this trouble. God's people and God's purpose are part of the remedy for loneliness. The third thing I want to cover quickly here is we need God's presence. We need God's presence. Paul writes, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Verses 17 and 18. Being delivered from the lion's mouth probably refers to Paul's temporary delay in his trial. When we are alone and in danger of our own lion's mouth, where is God? I know sometimes we wonder that. You know what? He's all around us, and he's in us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope each one of you here knows Christ as your Savior. I hope that you know that if you took your last breath today, that you would stand before the Lord. Mary's mom is there with the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. That's a wonderful hope that the Lord gives us. I know I'm going to be in heaven when I die. Do you? Do you have that assurance? You know what? You wonder where God is. He's all around you, and he's in you. When we don't sense his presence, we need to look at Joshua 31:8. Moses told this to Joshua, Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Loneliness is an excellent time for us to get better acquainted with God. Most of us are so busy, God has to shout to get our attention. We all need times of being alone with God if we are going to get to know God intimately. Mark 1:35 reminds us of this. Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen long while before daylight, he, meaning Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." The word translated solitary means lonesome or desolate. Like Jesus, we all need our times alone with God. Paul ends this final epistle with greetings to some of his dearest friends and his usual benediction, "Grace be to you." Paul's last four written words are a prayer for God's unmerited favor, forgiveness, and enabling power to be showered upon his readers, which includes you and me. It includes you and me. He wanted us also to have a faithful finish. I hope each one of you, it's your desire to finish faithfully. We have no record of Paul's death, but according to almost universal tradition, in AD 68 or 67, he was beheaded by a Roman executioner's sword. However he died, we know for certain God sent his angels to escort this great warrior who had fought a good fight to heaven. God's heavenly kingdom, it says in verse 18, where there is no more death, no more pain, no more suffering or loneliness. Paul knew God would not rescue him from the death that awaited him in the immediate future, but Paul remained firm in his conviction that God protects those who are his, guarding their souls until the time when he brings them into his kingdom. Praise the Lord for that. No evil plot of man or Satan can snatch God's children from his loving care. And praise the Lord for that too. And then Paul finally declares, "To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." And I want to close with that. "To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this study in your word, and I pray that you'd work in hearts today. I pray if there's one that knows you not as Savior, I pray, Lord, that you'd work in that heart, and I pray they wouldn't leave here until they know you as Savior. And Lord, I pray for those that are struggling with loneliness today, and I pray, Lord, that you would intervene for them. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and I just pray as we take communion now, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.